Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to another episode of Jamming with Jason. Hey, today I have a special treat for you. You may not know, but I have other podcasts, including Walking a Spiritual Path, that I co-host with my friend Brad Miller. And I want to share one of those great episodes with you today. You know, many professionals are searching for something greater than themselves in life. Attorney Brad Miller and recovering CPA Jason Mefford are on the path, exploring what it means for each of them to be a spiritual professional in an analytical, evidence-based world. So whether you're into yoga, meditation, crystals, or are merely curious about what else is out there, join us as we discuss our journeys and break the stigma around professionals who woo and the myths around what it means to be spiritual. So if you like what you hear, make sure to subscribe to Walking a Spiritual Path that you can find on all podcast players, YouTube, and on my website. And now let's roll that episode. Hey, everybody, I'm Jason Mefford, and Brad Miller is with me because we are starting to do something new and different for both of us. And so we're just going to start having a conversation. We don't know exactly where this is going to go and what you're going to find out as you start listening to this podcast that we're creating together. We don't know exactly where it's going as we're recording this first episode. We don't even know what the name of the podcast is, but we know we've just got to start recording something. So here we go. So it'll get more formal as we get going forward. But we thought, especially in this first episode, it would be helpful for you to maybe just understand a little bit about who we are and kind of why we're looking at doing this. Right. And I know Brad, I'll let you kind of take it away, because I know you reached out to me a couple months ago. We've known each other for, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years, at least, probably something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
And you reached out with this idea. And so let's just, you know, maybe start talking about that and a little bit about, you know, who we are and why we're doing this and what it is that we're trying, the messages that we're trying to get out there and how we're trying to help people.
Okay. So, as Jason said, my name is Brad Miller. I am a lawyer. You know, lawyer jokes and everything, you get those out of the way now.
Oh, there's going to be plenty of lawyer jokes.
I'm sure that probably from me. Will. I'm sure they will, and that's fine.
You can do accountant CPA jokes to me. So
I don't really know any CPA jokes. They're just too dull and boring. So
there's one right there.
There you go. But anyway, so I'm a lawyer. I also kind of work with other lawyers, helping them with their law practices, particularly solo and small firm lawyers. And through the course of helping other lawyers in particular, there's a lot of people out there that try to help, but a lot of it I feel is superficial. It's like, oh, I can help you get more clients, and I can help you do this and that with your law practice and be a better lawyer and stuff. And all that's great. But I really feel that if you really want to change your practice, if you are up against a wall and you're looking to kind of get beyond that, take that next step, that those changes really need to come from inside. The change has to come from within. And so one of the kind of reasons why I wanted to do this podcast is to provide an opportunity to talk about some of those things inside, to talk about maybe some of the things that we as professionals, whether we're lawyers or accountants or engineers or doctors or whatever it might be, that we are maybe a little hesitant to talk about. Maybe we've had some inklings about something, and we can talk about inklings a little bit here later. But, you know, maybe we don't really agree with the way that everything else is going right now. And so just to be able to open up conversation and talk about, you know, what some of this stuff might be happening in your head. And that's a long-winded way of kind of saying that hopefully, you know, as a professional, you can enjoy it and really appreciate this opportunity. And again, like Jayden said, we're just kind of going from the hip here with this. So I'll let him introduce himself quickly, and I'll get my thoughts down, and we can run from there with it. But
well, yeah, because I mean, I think, you know, similar to you, I've worked a lot. I mean, I was an auditor in charge of risk management, audit, ethics, compliance. I mean, really sexy, fun stuff in corporations. I've helped, you know, a lot of people for a long time in those executive roles. And I think, you know, again, Brad, as you and I talked, we both come from professions. And so the people that are listening, right, if you kind of think about, there's a lot of professions where you're kind of expected to be one way, right? It's like, well, if you're a lawyer, you've got to act this way. You've got to dress this way. You have to act like a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
You got to talk this way. You've got to believe certain things, right? And so, you know, again, whether you're a professional, it's, you know, an accountant, CPA, lawyer, engineer, doctor, scientific person, right? There's a lot of these professions that we get into where we're taught to be very analytical. We're taught to think. We're taught to reason our way through everything, right? I mean, that's what we're taught from a vocation perspective. And so the problem is that we end up getting trained that way, and we start bringing everything that we do in using those same kinds of tools. And the problem is there's a lot of things in life, right, where we may have these inklings or these spidey senses, this intuition, gut feelings, right, that are telling us that, no, that's not really the way we should do it. And a lot of times we suppress those because we think, well, we're crazy if we think that, or if we rely on our intuition. And we're going to do another episode about intuition. But what I found is, for myself and with working with other people, when you spend all day like worrying about risk and thinking negative and overthinking and being in your head and trying to analyze everything, that creeps over into the rest of our life. And so it can be as silly, you know, we were talking before we even hit record, it's like there's certain things in life that you just can't do that way, right? But if you're taught to be analytical and you've got to, you know, go through all these steps in order to make a decision, you know, literally some of us, you know, and probably some of you that are listening, and I've even found myself doing things as silly as this is, well, do I really love that person? Let me think about it. Let me, you know, do a pros and cons column. Let me, you know, kind of analyze whether or not and think my way to whether or not I love this person. It's like, that's not the way love works.
No, but and I can envision you, picture you with the flowers. Do I love her? Do I love her not?
pulling the petals off, right?
Pulling the petals, yeah.
Well, that's kind of what it is in some ways, right? I mean, when we laugh about that, but that, you know, she loves me not. I did that as a kid. I don't know if you did, but I mean, we saw that on some show or something, and I did that, right? But that's not the way it works. And there's a lot of things just like love that are these intangible things that you can't really think your way through. You get lost in your thoughts, right? Or you give up opportunities. You don't go down paths where your gut's telling you to do this, because there's that disconnection between our head, our heart, and our gut. And those are three areas that are important to me that I'm sure we'll talk a lot about. But the fact is, you know, most of us in these analytical type professions, we've cut our head off from the rest of our body, from our heart, from our gut, from our soul, from our whatever other terms you want to use. And by doing that, we've significantly limited what we can have in life. And also by doing that, it usually means we're stuck in a lot of lower vibration emotions like fear and anxiety and depression and despair and pity and other things like that as well.
Yeah, so, I don't think it's any coincidence that I think the highest rates of things like depression and mental, you know, mental illness and things like that, alcoholism, you know, for when it comes to like professions and things, it's things like lawyers and accountants and doctors, people who are in their heads all day long. And just like with, like you said, with the kind of risk management, attorneys are the exact same way. Like we're trained to find risk, to find problems and to problem solve, which is great. And it helps our clients. I mean, that's what they hire us for. But like you said, we take that out of their, out of the work that we do, and we take it home with us. And so now we're sitting there at home thinking about all the problems that might be out there. Like, well, how am I going to solve this problem if this comes up? And if this comes up, and is it's no wonder that we're, you know, sitting there dipping back to Jack Daniels or whatever, because we just, that's the way we can deal with all these uncertainties and, you know, and stuff like that.
Well, and it also, you know, when you do that, it's always, you know, and I'm sure we'll talk more too about past, present, future, right? Is that when we're sitting there in scenario planning and worrying, it's usually about the future, but mm-hmm. it's a future that we don't know whether will exist or not. And so a lot of times when we're in the future, we're worrying about the future. We're trying to predict what's going to happen. We're trying to, you know, create, you know, continuity and resiliency plans for things that might never happen. We end up in the future, spending all of our time in the future, and we really give up so much of what is great about the present or where we need to be in the present. And I think yeah, that's like, why, you know, that term mindfulness and being in the present moment, a lot of people are starting to talk more about that. And especially for people like us who have been professionally trained, we don't live in the present, right? I mean, as right. As an auditor, as a risk manager, I was either living in the past a year or two late, you know, ago, mm-hmm. or looking in the future and not spending as much time in the current. I mean, so yeah. Here's an accountant joke for you, right? Is it's like, how do you know whether an accountant is an auditor or a tax person?
I don't know if I could.
And this was the old days where we would write checks. It's like, well, tax people, you know, put 2 years ago in their on their checks, and auditors 1 year ago, right? Because tax people are always like two years ago doing people's taxes. So, you know, right now we're in 2023, they're still working on people's taxes from 21 or maybe starting 22. Auditors are always a year behind because they're always auditing, you know, last year's financial statements. And so just as a profession, like you said, they're always in the past. As a risk manager, as a lawyer, it would be the same way, right? Mm-hmm. If you're worried about litigation risk or other stuff, you're in the future, 1, 2, 5 years of what could happen. If you're dealing with a particular case or litigation, I mean, hell, that could be 10 years ago, right? I mean, depending on when some of those actions actually happened.
Right. Yeah, no, exactly. And that's it. So we went to a restaurant my family did last week, and my daughter got the kids' meal. And in the kids' meal, there's a little bag and it has little games or whatever like that on it. And it had a little, this one particularly stood out to me because it had a little fill in the blank. And it was the past is blank. The future is blank. And today is a blank, I think it was. And so the words are supposed to be filling there was yesterday is, or the past is history. The present, I don't even know what the present was, maybe not, you know, it was not here yet or something like that. But the idea of today is a present, it's a gift. Mm-hmm. And that's, a way that I like to look at things, you know, because like you said, the past, it's already happened. It's no longer here. The future, we may not be here the next minute. Like all of a sudden we may drop dead right here in this podcast and exactly. See, there was Jason. So it was good knowing you guys. We're out of here. But really the only thing you have is the present. And so many people don't appreciate, don't enjoy what they've got going around with them right now. Like they don't enjoy time with their kids because they're always worried about what's going to happen down the road, or they don't spend time for themselves, relaxing, resting, taking vacations because they're always worried about, well, what if a client tries to call me and I'm on the beach and I can't answer it? What's going to happen? You know, or, you know, what if something big comes up, the court needs to talk to me and they can't get a hold of me and all this work's going to be built up in the future when I get back and all these other things, rather than just say, you know what, screw it all. I'm going to enjoy what I'm doing right now. I'm going to enjoy going and watching my daughter play soccer, or I'm going to sit here and I'm going to enjoy a nice cup of tea and just sit here and relax and just kind of be with myself. And that's something that I think as professionals, we're not definitely not trained for. We're trained to look at the present and the past. And then it carries over to the rest of our lives. And no wonder why we're all miserable and wanting to, you know, drink ourselves into oblivion. Like, you know.
Well, and I think it's, you know, so as we're talking, right, I mean, I'll try to summarize a little bit too. So I think one thing that we talked about is, you know, trying to help people with our discussions here to get them more in the present moment, right? Get out of the past, get out of the future. You spend all day at work in those areas, try to be more present, right? Because again, it's, I mean, I've seen this in myself and with a lot of people that I've worked with as well. People in professions, usually a big part of our identity is our profession. Mm-hmm. And so we spend a huge amount of time on our professions. And while we're doing that, we're usually neglecting the real people in our life, right? That's why there's high rates of divorce. You know, I didn't have as good of a relationship with my children when they were growing up as I probably should have, right? And lucky for you, your daughter's much younger. So you're going to do a better job at that than I did, because I was still at that point hiding in my career and not spending time with my kids and with my first wife, you know, as a result of it. And I'm sure a lot of people that are listening, it's the same thing. You know, like you said, we're usually professionals are driven, right? We want to move forward in our career. If that client needs to talk to us, we want to be available for them. And so, but sometimes in doing that, we end up sacrificing other things, right? Mm-hmm. So hopefully we can help you also start thinking and not have as many regrets in life as well, right? Because again, a lot of the executives that I work with, they're midlife. They might be going through a midlife crisis. Well, if they had done things different 10 or 15 years ago, they wouldn't be experiencing that midlife crisis.
Yeah, definitely. And I totally had something very clever and poignant to say right there, and it went out the window 2 seconds ago. So we're just going to run with it. Maybe I'll comment on the nice lion that you have back there behind you.
Well, we'll probably get into that as to why I have a lion back there at some point, yeah. Too.
We'll tease a little bit here that so my wife really likes lions. And her favorite color is green. And the flower behind you, behind the lion, she actually has one just like that. So
there we go. Yeah, that I'm trying to point. If you're watching the video, if you're on audio, you can't see
it. If you're on audio, you're just going to be screwed.
Yeah, but it's actually a malachite carving of a lion. So. And yeah, there's reasons why I have that. Maybe in a future episode, when people are listening, I'll share why I have that. Because the lion and the malachite and the plant behind it. In fact, most everything that you can see on camera in my office, there's a reason why it's there. We'll probably talk about some of that stuff too, because I think, you know, again, one of the other things that we've made a little bit of a reference to, but I'll try to be a little bit more direct on it too, is, you know, sometimes as we're talking, and at least the way that I do it, when I talk about certain things or when I share certain stories, there's multiple levels at which I'm talking. So I might be talking about ice cream and vanilla and chocolate and strawberry ice cream, and I'm telling you a story or some analogy about that, and I'm talking about ice cream, but I'm not talking about ice cream. So for those of you that are listening, right, you're going to find that a lot of the things that we say have multiple levels of meaning. And so when you listen to something one time, it might mean one thing to you. When you listen later, it might have another meaning for you as well, right? And one of the things that we talked about at the beginning is, for those of us in a lot of these analytical type of professions, we kind of lock out our intuition, or we stop listening to those spidey senses, or I'm trying to remember the word that you used too, which was
gut feeling, gut instinct,
gut feeling,
instincts. That's a really good way to.
Yeah. That when those things come up, we think, oh no, that can't be. And so we spend all of our time in our five sensory or 3D world. And we're going to use some different words that you may or may not be familiar with as well, as we're going through, and we'll try to kind of define what those means, but just come along and you'll start figuring out why we use certain words that we do as well. Some of the times we're going to use words that people can relate to, right? Or things that you've maybe heard, so that you can start to kind of understand the basis behind the concept. So like when we say instinct, gut feeling, spidey senses, right? Things like that. Most of you probably get an idea of what we're talking about, right? And other people might call them different things, and we might call them different things as we go forward here too. But just so you're starting to come along with this. And so the idea is too, is, you know, we've especially seen in the last few years that people are waking up. And this has been happening for a long time. There's been, if you go back, I love history and psychology. And when you're a student of history, you notice that there are certain patterns that repeat. And one of those patterns that we have seen, and we're just taking, if we just take just the United States, there have been several different religious revivals in the United States history. Certain points in time when all of a sudden religion becomes a big deal, everybody kind of jumps on the bandwagon, a lot more people start going to church, new churches are created, things like that, right? And that's happened many, many times. But what we're seeing, especially the last 5 or 10 years, and especially the last, you know, year or two, is it's not necessarily a religious revival, but it's a spiritual awakening, is what some people are kind of referring to it as, that we're waking up and realizing there's more to life than just making money, gaining power, getting the next title, you know, being strapped to your desk or your career or your job. There's much more to life than just that three-dimensional experience that is around us. And so we're going to talk more about some of that stuff too, because, you know, like Brad said, a lot of us that are taught to be practical and logical and everything else, we get told that you're crazy and you're full of shit if you listen to your intuition. But that's not the case, right? I mean, as humans, we've spent millions of years evolving, and we have literally survived because of our intuition. And like I said, we'll get more into that, but we want you to realize too, is that if you realize there's more to life than just those things, that's one of the things we're going to be talking about. And the fact is, you're not crazy and you're not alone, right? Because you got two guys here, and I want to kind of address that too, because a lot of times when you're out there, you will see a lot of women talking about these things, because women just in their nature are more feeling and, you know, mother's intuition. There's a reason that we call it that, right?
Right.
Women tend to be more intuitive than men are. But it's also men, right? And so that was one of the reasons, too, why I think there's not a lot of voices out there of men talking about some of these things. So we wanted to share some of that, because again, men have a different perspective, but it's for everybody, right? So it's for anybody who is like that, who has questions, is dabbling, wants to go deeper, wants to realize that there's other people that are out there. Right. And I know, Brad, that was one of the reasons that you reached out to me. Right.
Right. Yeah. Cause I see a lot of, like I said, a lot of there are women that are starting to talk more about this, and that's great. And that's awesome. And they are professionals, they're lawyers, they are people that are in these logical professions and things. And that's awesome. But you know, it's not just for women. And we want it to, you know, and this is not a podcast for men by any stretch, like, you know, this is for anyone really. But we do want it to realize that it is okay if you're a man and you're a logical, analytical type profession like law or accounting or medicine or, you know, insurance or science or what, you know, engineering, all these kind of things. It's okay to not only be thinking about these things, you know, to maybe start believing or start kind of following some nudges in these directions, but to talk about it. You know, this is not something you need to kind of hide back in the corner, you know, don't let anybody see, you know, because they'll think you're crazy. Well, you know, we're all a little bit crazy in the end. I tell my daughter, we joke with her that she says, you know, they're so weird. And we try to destigmatize that word for her by saying weird just means different. That's all it is. There's nothing bad about it. Everyone's weird in their own separate, in their special ways. Like it's all good. And same thing with this, like everyone in their own separate ways, you know, it's fine. There's nothing to be kind of hidden, ashamed about or anything like that, you know? And so, that's, you know, hopefully that's something that we can get out through this podcast, through us discussing it on here, and maybe some guests we bring in talking about their experiences as well, and make it feel more comfortable for you to have these thoughts, to have these feelings, to have these conversations. So,
well, I think that's a great point too, because, you know, another word that I love is unique, is that, you know, we're all, and again, like we said, right? I mean, there's a certain way that most professions expect you to dress and talk and think, but we're all unique individuals, right? And so it's important for us to find out what works for us, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why, you know, we're going to talk about lots of different things. Some things work better for me. I'm sure some things work better for Brad. Some other things might work better for other people. But we're going to try to, you know, start at least bringing into your awareness some of these different modalities and other options that are out there that you can go and play with. Because especially when you start talking about some of the metaphysical or the spiritual or the multisensory kinds of things, there's a lot of people with really loud voices that are kind of telling you, like, well, if you're not experiencing it this way, then you're just doing it wrong. I'm here to tell you, there's no right or wrong way of doing anything. And mm-hmm. So again, if you're one of those people that thinks, well, geez, I must not be doing it right because I'm not having the same experience as somebody else, throw that out. It doesn't mean that you're doing anything wrong. And as I've gone down this path myself, right, I used to think that way. I used to feel that way. Like there was something wrong with Jason. But there's nothing wrong with me, because I found other people who experience and process things the same way I do. It just happens to be different than what a lot of other people are talking about.
Yeah. And it goes back to that comparison that I know I see a lot in the law between lawyers, and I'm sure it's in other professions as well. wanting to compare it to what other people are doing, and they've seen the same things as I am, and I'm just being an outlier. And you know, when it comes to, you know, the clients they bring in, the money they get, or just kind of, you know, the way they do anything, like we kind of, especially in the law, which is based on precedents, we like to be able to rely on the way things have been done in the past. And one of the things that I hate, the phrase I hate the most, is people saying, you know, because it's the way it's always been done. Like that is just kind of like the nails on chalk for me, when people use that as an excuse for why they do something. And so, you know, hopefully one of the themes that we can kind of go talk about throughout this is the idea that this is kind of an individual thing for you, that there's no right, there's no wrong way to do it. It's just kind of what feels right for you. You know, one of my, you know, I do yoga, and one of the people that I do yoga, named Adrian, one of her things is, you know, do what feels good. You know, you don't need to twist yourself into pretzels and everything else just because that's what these experienced yoga instructors do. You know, if you can't do the pretzel, that's great. You know, just do what feels good to you at the time, whether that's, you know, like this, or, you know, all the way around, you know, whatever it might be. And so hopefully that's one of the goals, I think, that at least I have for this, is that you'll feel more comfortable just kind of doing what feels right for you, and not worrying about what others think or what they say.
Yeah, because again, imagine, I'll give you two examples, right? Is imagine, you know, when you look at artists, let's say, right? I mean, a lot of artists are trained, right? They go to art school, they have a teacher or a mentor who teaches them how to paint. Let's just pick painting, right? And there's certain techniques for how you paint and what you paint. And a lot of times as you're learning that, you know, you have to do things like landscapes, you know, and kind of those table scenes. You know, you see a lot of paintings with fruit and houses and other things like that, right? Because that's what you're taught to do. And there's, you know, again, there's kind of whole things behind that of, you know, how you're supposed to make it look and how it's supposed to be realistic looking and all this kind of stuff, right?
It's copying what people have done.
Or copying.
That's the way it's been taught.
It's the way it's been taught, and it's copying what's there in reality. So imagine, you know, you have the whole Impressionist group like Monet, mm-hmm. who went against that, right? Because they chose to do it their way instead of the way that they were taught. Picasso, right? Same kind of thing, right? I mean, imagine if Picasso sat there and said, no, you know, I can't do it any other way because I was taught to do it this way. He wouldn't have been true to who he was. We wouldn't have some of the brilliant things that we have. Dali, another one, right? It's like, I mean, surrealism and a lot of the people who were in that movement, they were trained, but they chose to create in a way that was unique for them, right? And so again, that's for all of us, right? We learn, but we get to choose to create in the way that we want to. Another example is music, right? That again, you know, classically trained musicians are taught, you know, certain ways that you have to do things and certain chords that you have to use and the different things like that. And a lot of times, you know, people who are classically trained, they limit themselves, right? Because they limit themselves to only the analytical or what they're taught. And it might surprise you to know that most of the greatest musicians that you respect were never classically trained. Or they were classically trained, but they chose to break the rules, right? So even like, you know, Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys, when he came forward and came up with a lot of the songs on Pet Sounds, that was a groundbreaking album. In fact, little music trivia, you guys will get this kind of stuff from me all the time. Pet Sounds was actually one of the inspirations for the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper album. Most people don't realize that. But if Brian Wilson, and when he went into the studio with some of the studio musicians and he was explaining to them what he wanted them to do or the sound he wanted them to create, a lot of them were like, Brian, you can't do that. That's that That's just not how music theory works. He's like, I know, but just do it, right? And that was the inspiration, you know, for Sgt. Pepper, which probably everybody knows about, right? A lot more famous, but it was, you know, the Beatles getting inspiration from the Beach Boys getting inspiration from the Beatles, the Rolling Stones getting inspiration from the Beatles and other people. But then each one of them not copying what everybody else had done, but making it their own, right? And we all can do that. But so many of us that are taught and are in these professions, we get put in a box and we stay in the box, right? What would it look like if we could get outside of the box, right? Would you feel more aligned? Would you feel happier? Would you no longer feel like a fraud, right? Wouldn't that be great? So again, hopefully that's what we're helping to kind of, shake up things and let everybody realize it's okay to be you and do things the way that you need to do it as well.
Well, hopefully we haven't scared everyone away who's listening to this first episode with talking of going from music to Picasso to Malachite lions. And I mean, as you see, this is going to jump from here to there and everywhere else. So hopefully you're willing to jump to join for the ride, buckle up, because I think it's going to be a fun one.
Well, it is. And I think we've kind of laid a little bit of the ground floor, if you will. And like you said, I mean, and again, it's this may not be for everybody, right? And that's fine. You know, there's plenty of podcasts and other things that are out there, but you know, for those of you that we haven't scared off so far, like Brad said, buckle up, because it's going to be a ride. We're going to be all over the place. We're going to be talking about lots of different things, but with a lot of the underlying themes and the reasons for why we're talking about it. And again, as we get going, we'll get more direct. We'll get more, to the point on certain things as well. So anyway.
But it's an introduction, so welcome everyone.
Welcome, welcome, welcome
to our show.
Yeah, whatever we're going to call it. But you'll find that by the time that this rolls, you'll probably already know. But yeah, anything else today, Brad, before we wrap up this episode?
That's all I got at this point. Like I said, I don't want to scare people off too much away yet. I look really looking forward to this. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think it has a possibility to help a lot of people who maybe just don't quite feel what's going on is what works best for them. So definitely looking forward to this and work with you, Jason. And I know you're doing a lot of the things, but if somebody says, you know what, that Jason guy, I kind of want to listen to a little bit more about him and his crazy antics around music and all those things, how can they find out more about you?
Well, so I'm easy to find. I've got my personal website is jasonmefford.com. But I'm not as much on social. I'm on social media, but I'm not. I am YouTube, podcasts. I've got a Jamming with Jason podcast, and I've got a Fire and Earth podcast. So I've got two other podcasts besides this one.
Both very good. You should definitely subscribe if you have not already.
Well, thank you. I know there's at least one listener in the world and Brad, but so I'm out there, easy to find. If you forget, you can just Google my name and you're going to find me.
Awesome.
And how about you, Brad? I mean, for people that want to reach out to you or.
Well, if you have legal problems, take them to somebody else. just kidding. So, probably for most people listening, most relevant to you is going to be kind of the work that I do with lawyers, helping them. And that site is newmodernlawyer.com. I think that seems kind of an appropriate name for what we're looking to do, and really ties into this stuff as well. Outside of, like I said, Jason, social media for me, it's probably LinkedIn, is where I post things, and you can read my rants and things like that if you're on there. So, which is, I think, just Bradley Miller on LinkedIn. So
perfect. Perfect. And yes. So that's it for today's show. If you liked it, listen to the next one, subscribe, and you know, let us know. It's always you know, whenever you do things like this, if you haven't been a creator in our situation, if you like what you're hearing, please reach out to us, because we don't get to see the look on your face as you're listening to this. So any feedback that you have for us, if there's questions you have from the episodes or suggestions you have for future shows, make sure and reach out to Brad or myself and let us know. Cause like I said, we're doing this as a labor of love, right? We both have our day jobs that we're doing other stuff, but we just really felt called to start some discussions that I think people want to have or want to listen to, but that at least we're not seeing that people are talking about it. So we hope you'll come along with us in this journey. And that's a wrap. Thanks for listening. The fact that you listened to this entire episode means you got value and others will too. Do me a favor and leave a 5-star review with comments and then share with others. You can also check out all of my videos on my YouTube channel and my website, jasonmefford.com. This podcast is primarily for education and commentary and does not represent professional advice. Views and opinions expressed on this show are that of the individuals and not of their respective organizations.